Hi, this is Steve Barrett at Davos with Craig Buchholz, who's CCO of Procter & Gamble. Craig, welcome. Great to be chatting with you in Davos. It's your third Davos, I think.
That's right. It's great to be with you.
And an interesting week for you on many fronts. Obviously, you've just done CES, so it's been a busy start to the year.
Yes.
You had your results yesterday.
Yes.
You got your CEO with you, David Taylor.
Yes.
So tell us how the week's been and what Davos means for you, P&G, and the communications function.
Yeah, it's been a great Davos. For us, actually, this is our third year as a strategic partner to the World Economic Forum. I think each year we've been able to build on what we've learned or did the previous year. So this is, I think, from a cumulative perspective, P&G on its front foot in the best possible way. And we're really here for a number of objectives. One is from a government relations perspective. There's lots of things in business that transacts here. Two, from a corporate reputation perspective, talking about the choices that we're making across a number of platforms, social sustainability, environmental sustainability, choices that we're making in terms of our business strategy that relate to driving trust and purpose. But then also lots of opportunities to engage with our retail partners and to try to inspire advocates to speak on our behalf on some of the platforms and topics that we care about.
Yeah, so you can see a lot of those people in one small space
exactly
in
right.
one week.
It's
kind of curious
meeting,
that it happens
right.
to be a ski resort in Switzerland.
That's right.
But it's everybody is saying that it's so convenient. And how about the results? Is that fairly easily handled? Not a big stretch for the
team.
Yeah,
I think like most companies, we have a bit of a machine when it comes to quarterly earnings. And obviously, we're very excited to have reported yesterday a 4% growth. But yeah. That is largely handled by the team in Cincinnati. And I think it went quite well for us.
And then a couple of interviews here with David on the ground.
Exactly
the
right.
CNBC,
exactly. That's right.
I saw Mark Pritchard yesterday
yes.
doing a panel going through some of your work and business, purposeful business,
mm-hmm.
business doing good is obviously
yep.
a big theme of Davos.
Yep.
Gillette is in the news this last
Is it?
Couple of weeks. Yes, I don't know if you noticed that. But actually, Mark was showing another piece for Ariel in India that
yes,
I think you're just
share
about.
The load.
Yeah, which
yeah.
is a great piece too. And he was, talking about generally the importance of doing good.
Yes.
Talk us through that, because,
yeah.
There's some skepticism about Davos. Everyone's here in this beautiful place.
Right.
Luxury, all the, private jets coming in, etc. And everyone's talking about the importance of doing good. But it clearly is a big priority for P&G. We saw Always Like a Girl win a PR Week
yes.
award and lots
yeah.
of other awards a few years
the
ago.
The Talk won an Emmy.
The Talk, yeah.
yeah.
And then the Gillette work, which was very bold. Let's get into that. But first of all, about the business, the importance of doing good
yeah.
and being seen to be purposeful.
Yeah, we actually talk about this notion of P&G and our brands being a force for good and a force for growth. Because at the end of the day, you really need to drive the growth of the company. But one of the ways that we've chosen to do that from a strategic perspective, as part of our fundamental business strategy, is to leverage our voice for good and to try to drive what we call corporate citizenship across a certain number of areas. And so what Mark talks a lot about is this notion of brands as a force for good. And what that means really is taking a cause or a purpose that is aligned with the equity of the brand. So Always Like a Girl is about preserving confidence at puberty, which we know from a data
it's
perspective.
It's changed that phrase, hasn't it?
It's turned it on its head.
It
it's
has.
Completely turned it upside down,
yeah.
where like a girl used to be an insult,
yeah.
and now it's considered to be a compliment
yeah,
by
yeah.
the vast majority of people.
Yeah.
Share the Load in India, you bring up, is just about equitable distribution of household chores. Gillette is about taking on this notion of boys will be boys, which is a thin excuse for essentially toxic masculinity.
Sure.
So these are things that connect back into the equity of the brand and the consumers that that brand serves. And we find that the opportunity to leverage our voice in that to drive change is what our consumers are increasingly expecting of us. And that's what gets to the platform that we're on.
Let's dig into Gillette.
Sure.
It clearly had a very different reactions. You brought the trolls out in force.
Mm.
But you if you're Nike or if you're a brand doing some of this work, you've got to expect that, and
sure.
you will plan for it, I'm
mm-hmm.
sure,
mm-hmm.
And hope that the long game it actually becomes net positive. But there were a lot of elements to it, weren't there? There was the it seemed to get a slightly different reaction in different parts of the world. In
mm.
my home country, there was the UK.
UK
seemed to have a more extreme reaction. I don't know whether Piers Morgan was driving that or, but it did seem to go down differently there than it did in the States, for example.
Mm.
And women seem to react much better to it than men. And I guess it's forgotten that Talk us through the consumption habits there, and how many razors are bought by women, either for their sons or for themselves or for their husbands?
Yeah, I don't have that data point off the top of my head, but disproportionately for our entire portfolio of brands, the female head of household is generally the consumer. So we often talk about our consumer as her, as she. And so it's interesting. I think it's extraordinarily important to understand and to peel apart the perception of what happened with Gillette and the sentiment and the reality of what we know to be true, having talked to our consumers now a week and a half or so into it. And the early perception is that it was going sideways. There was definitely press. Pierce certainly was out there in force, as you note, right? Not surprisingly, I don't think his point of view shocked anybody, right? Right. But the fact of the matter is, in the first couple of days, you saw that, but then it cycled pretty quickly over about 5 or so days, where that calmed down considerably. And underneath of that, the entire time, we knew that we had consumers who were very much with us. And so based on some data that came out, I think you saw it as well.
The morning consult,
right? The 2/3 of people who were surveyed actually either ranked that ad as good or very good. And I found the most interesting data point was that of the people who were familiar with the ad, only 8% actually recall seeing or hearing something negative about it, right? So the perception of what unfolded versus the reality of what unfolded, oftentimes are different. And the one thing that we have learned, Gillette has borne this out, The Talk has borne this out, other platforms that we've launched, is it's a somewhat predictable arc that it comes out and you hear a lot of feedback early on, and sometimes that is negative, but over time that turns. And what you really need to do is understand underneath of that, the consumer who you're trying to reach, what is he or she thinking about it? And that's what we've learned.
And purchase consideration against some of the scrappy newcomers to the sector, like Dollar Shave Club, Harry's, seem to improve after the ad as well, which clearly at the end of the day...
There's two dimensions to it. Yeah. So purchase consideration actually didn't change in terms of someone's dislike for Gillette. But what did change is intent to move from Harry's or Dollar Shave to Gillette, which was excellent.
So I noticed in the results, financial results, that actually you had great numbers, but Gillette's were not among the strongest performers. Obviously, this piece of work broke before those numbers.
Right, exactly.
Are you looking to do something disruptive around the brand to reverse that, or were you going to do that sort of thing anyway?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are looking to increase the category, right? So grooming we've been working on for some time and transforming as part of our overall transformation. I think one of the specific things that we're looking to do with the film We Believe and other choices that we're making in the grooming category is to connect back in with a younger consumer. And this is one way to do that. I think that's going to drive some of the fundamental growth that we're looking for from a category perspective.
And finally, are you going to continue that tack and that campaign? Are you going to build on that like you did with Share the Load? That's a 2 or 3 year old thing. Are you going to build on this with Gillette as well?
We're definitely going to build on this platform of brands as a force for good and a force for growth. I don't want to play my hand in terms of what's coming next.
But Come on, give us a PR Week exclusive.
You can definitely count on P&G leveraging its voice to drive change.
All right, Craig, well, thanks for joining us in Davos.
My pleasure.
Safe travels home.
You bet.
We'll see you back in the States.
Thank you.
Cheers.